Good morning. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This is the English Standard Version. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
When he led us in our prayer this morning, Garrett used a phrase that I marvel at when I think about it. He said, "We want to seek your face, God." And that's a biblical phrase. It's found in the Word of God a number of times. And to think that we could see the face of God, is that what it means? Well, not while we're in the flesh. But we want to be so close that we are in His presence. I think that's the idea. Seeking His face, drawing closer every day. And that's our goal, because God is so worthy of being close to. He is marvelous, He is gracious, He is powerful, He is wise, He is loving and gracious and merciful. We want to be close to Him. And so, yes, that is our purpose today and every day, is to seek His face. So thank you, Garrett, for that reminder. We are here to seek the face of God. And we're so glad you're with us today as well. We have a pretty good number. It looks like this must be July 4th weekend, looking out over the crowd. Lots of gaps, but what I'm looking at more is you. You're here, and we're very thankful for that. Christine Russell is finally back with us now. Charlie was here last week, and we're so glad they have come to their senses and moved out of California and come back home. But it's so good to see the Russells back with us. I've also met others that I had not met before, among them a new student at ETSU who's going to be worshiping with us, one in medical school just beginning that will be worshiping with us. We hope they'll both make their home church. But we're glad you're here. If I've not met you, I want to meet you, and I know others do as well. And if there is anything that we can do to help while you are here, please let us know. We are so glad to have you here. Today's a busy day. Some of us are going to the prisons to do our work there. At 5:40, there will be a gathering in the old auditorium for those that want to pray for our nation. And I really hope you are doing that. It would be great if you could come and join us for that session, because it encourages those of us to do that. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll gather again for worship. Now, last week, which was normally our singing night, we switched it around with Tim Haywood. So tonight will be our singing night. And that is always a great time to request songs that you may not have heard in a while, to just enjoy singing. And we'd love for you to come out and join us for that. So enjoy the day, draw closer to God, seek His face. And here's a word to the men of the congregation, young or old. Pick up one of these out at either of the visitors' counters. Can you see that? Do you have any trouble seeing that? It is a schedule of our men's fellowship that is coming up on Saturday, August 3rd. And this is a big day. This will be our fourth one. And we're looking for a really good number of men from around the region. But what we want most are men from here at Central. And right now, we don't have a whole lot of you signed up. So you can go online and sign up there on our website, or you can just call the office or send me an email, any of those things. But we want you to be here. It is going to be a great day. And then the next day, on Sunday, August 4th, President David Shannon from Freed Hardeman University is going to be here. And he is such an amazing preacher of the gospel. I want you to be sure to be here for that. It will also be a fellowship meal after that. There's a lot of things going to be going on that weekend, so let's all focus on that. And men, we really want you to sign up and come and be with us on that men's fellowship day. But now let's turn our attention to the Word of God. That's our main purpose now, is to hear what God has said through His Word. I urge you to get your Bibles out and follow along. If you have a Bible app on your device, fire that up. Let's get those going. But follow. Make sure that what we're looking at is really the Word of God and not just some guy's opinion. You don't need that. You need the Word of God. So let's get into that in just a moment. I'm going to begin by talking about something that some of you may remember. Some of you weren't around yet. But 1986, Nintendo, you know what I'm talking about there, the gaming system. Nintendo, in 1986, released a video game entitled The Legend of Zelda. I'm vaguely familiar with that. I had kids at home at the time, and they were big into video games. And in this, it was an adventure-type game, and Link was the hero that was trying to rescue Princess Zelda. And as he began the process, there was this old man that came out and said, "It's dangerous to go alone. Take this." And he was holding a sword. And if you ever played the game, you thought, well, okay, I guess I'd better have this. And indeed, it was almost vital that you had that. And along the way, there would be other gifts, other weapons that you would encounter. And you had to make the choice, do I take this or not? And you might find out later on, wow, I wish I'd gotten that back there, because I can't finish the quest without that gift. Well, we're not here to talk about video games. We're here to talk about something a lot more serious, and that is our quest to make it to heaven. And along the way, God offers us gifts. God says, in effect, here, take this. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we say, well, not right now, Lord. Thank you, but I don't think I need that right now. And then later we find out we really do. And as we look at our theme for 2019, which is On to Maturity, we're going to look at this passage again that was read to us earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to see there is another statement about maturity that we may have missed in times past. And the idea is, you need these things if you want to go on to maturity. Well, what are those things? What are these gifts that Christ has given us? And that's the whole focus of our lesson today. So let's look at those gifts. Let's try to find out if we want to go on to maturity, and I hope every one of us does, we need these gifts. So let's begin by talking about the gifts that help us to attain maturity. And for that again, let's go back to Ephesians 4, the passage that Mark read for us earlier. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're actually going to start out with verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. And here Paul is going to look back to a passage in Psalm 68, verse 19. But listen to what he says in that passage, verses 7 and 8 of Ephesians 4. "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. There's the first occurrence of that word gift. And then he says in verse 8, therefore it says, and he's referring now back to Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now our ears perk up anytime we hear that word gift, right? Advertisers on TV know that. They'll say, here's our free gift if you call in the next 60 seconds. What is it? I want a gift. Well, do our ears perk up when we hear that Christ brought gifts for us? And by the way, that word men there is in the generic form, anthropos. It's not just talking about males. It's talking about all mankind. And so Christ brought gifts. He gave gifts to men. What are they? Immediately, we want to know, well, yeah, maybe I'm interested. What are those gifts? Well, let's read on and find out what those are. Look at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And here he says he gave. Could that tie back, do you think, to what we read in verse 8? That he gave gifts to men? Well, I think so. I think that's absolutely the idea. He says in verse 11 again, he gave, and here are the gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And every one of those, I feel sure, are the gifts that Paul was talking about just three verses earlier. In other words, they are people in the church that played various roles. And as you look at that list, you might say, well, we don't have the apostles now. Do we have prophets? And I don't think we do in the sense in which they are used in the New Testament. Those were extraordinary measures that were given for the beginning of the church. But when you look at the other three, yeah, we know about those. There are the evangelists, there are the shepherds, there are the teachers. We have those in this church, and most every congregation does. And is that what he means? Could he be talking about gifts in that way? Well, let's read on. Let's find out more about what this could mean for us. And let's just read verses 12 through 16. And then we're going to come back and look at it more closely. Beginning in verse 12, to equip the saints, this is the reason he gave the gifts, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now that's a long reading. Let's go back and look at it a bit more closely and see the different ideas that Paul has there. For example, first of all, you'll notice what he said in verse 13. He says that we are given these gifts for mature manhood. We are to grow up, in other words. And that's been the idea of this theme for 2019, is that there are some that have just stayed in that childhood phase and they haven't really grown. And that's not the will of God. God doesn't want us to remain children. He wants us to mature in every way. And so this is part of the process, Paul is saying. If you want to grow up, then take advantage of the gifts. Those that are working among you in the church. That's the main idea. But then look again more closely at what he means there in verse 13. He says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. And did you notice that word unity? Unity in the sense that we are one. In Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus, there were both Jewish people and Gentile people, and in times past, they were very divided against one another. And we know about prejudices here in our country. We know how those prejudices can drive us apart. And yet Paul said, what the Lord wants is unity. And these gifts, that is, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, they are there to help us to attain that unity, to grow closer together as one. That's one of the reasons why we are given those gifts. And then in verse 14, look again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. And there you see another reason why we are given these gifts, and that is to help us to mature in our understanding of the Word of God. In other words, these are people that will help us as we try to get what the Bible says, to know what the Lord really wants. Have you noticed there's a lot of different ideas out there in religion? I mean, a whole lot of different ideas, and many of them are deceitful. If you're not careful, you'll be taken in by them. And yet Paul says, if you follow what they're showing you, if you go with their teaching, assuming they're teaching the truth, then you won't be like that. You will be stable. You will not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Oh, I'll believe this today. Next week, I'll believe that. And who knows what we'll believe in the future. Paul says, grow up. Be stable in your understanding of the Word of God. And then one other reason is given. For example, in verse 12. And I want you to listen as we read verse 12 and then verses 15 and 16. And notice how many times the idea of building up the body occurs. Look at what he says in verse 12, for example. He says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There's one time. Now go to verse 15. He says, rather, speaking the truth of love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What does all that mean? It means that when the body is functioning properly, meaning every member, every one of us who are part of this body, when we are functioning properly, we are helping to build each other up. This is not a solo experience. It's not me against the church or me against the world. It is the church working together and building one another up. That's the whole purpose that the Lord has given us. And so he says, I've given you these gifts so that you can accomplish these purposes, to recognize unity in the body, to be stable in your understanding of the truth that has been given to us, and to enable each Christian to do their part in building up the body of Christ. Now, there are those who are immature, and they think only of themselves. They think, well, I'll go in and do what I need to do, but don't talk to me about getting involved and attached with other members. I'm not interested in that. That's immaturity, according to the Word of God. A mature Christian will say, how can I work with others? How can I help others? How can I make sure the body is growing and being built up constantly? And Paul says, God has given you these gifts, these people working among you in the church toward that end. Now let me give you a case study of what we're talking about. And to do that, let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And while you're looking for that, because it may be unfamiliar territory for some, let me give you the background of what Nehemiah is doing. The children of Israel have been carried away into captivity into Babylon and have been there for 70 years. They had disregarded what God had said. They had rejected the prophets one after another. And finally, God said, I'm going to do what I told you I would do. You will be carried away into a foreign land, and you'll spend 70 years there. They did. And so now many of them have come back to Judah. They have attempted to get their lives built back. Now Nehemiah has come back and rebuilt the wall to protect the city. And yet now there's something more important that needs to be done, and that is to build up their understanding of the Word of God. They had forgotten God's will. And so let's read a couple of passages here. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And this is phenomenal, I think. There's not a miracle here, but it's phenomenal. Listen to what it says. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. Now, already this is remarkable because the people have gathered together and now they're saying, bring the Bible. Come on, bring it out. Let's hear it. I like being in those situations where people are just so anxious to hear the Word of God, they call for it. We'll go on in verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday. Did you catch that? He read from the law from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Isn't that great? Here is a large gathering of people. They're there in the town square, you might say. Here is Ezra standing before them, reading from the book of the law from early morning till mid-afternoon, and they're listening. They are attentive because they want to know, what does the Lord expect of us? But there's something more that's even just as marvelous about it. And let's go down to verses 7 and 8, because others join in. The reading of the law is not enough, it seems. And so others are utilized, Levites. And look at verse 7. And if you want to pronounce these differently, help yourself, because pronouncing Hebrew names is always kind of iffy for me. But it says, also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatha, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, you get the idea. The Levites, it goes on to say. These are all Levites that it's talking about, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They're helping them understand what Ezra has read. And then in verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. You see what's happening here? Not only is Ezra standing before them to read the law of God, but these Levites are joining in to help them understand what they've just heard. It kind of sounds to me like what goes on here on a regular basis. There may be one up here reading from the Bible. There may be somebody else that steps up and begins to explain what that reading meant and to make applications for us. In other words, I would call Ezra and the Levites on that occasion gifts from God. Because without them, how would they have known the will of God? How would they have known what God had revealed to them in His Word? And as you'll go on to see in verses 13 through 18, which we're not going to read right now, they realize from this session, you know what, folks? We have been neglecting. We have been neglecting the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, we sometimes call it. And by the way, I said booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, not booths, if you had a little misgiving about what I said there. But they said, "We it's there in the law of God. We've been neglecting that. We need to do that." And they did, which obviously would have pleased God. And so again, I think what we're looking at here is an example of what Paul meant when he said Christ gave gifts, and then he enumerated the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, which we call elders more generally, and teachers, gifts that are designed to help us understand and apply the will of God. And isn't that what Paul says, going back to Ephesians 4 one more time, verses 11 through 13. Listen one more time to this idea about the gifts. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, maturity. We need help if we're going to get to that point, and Christ has provided that help, and they are referred to here as gifts. Now, let's talk about us using the gifts that Christ has given us. Let's talk about that, using the gifts Christ has given us. And generally, could we not say that gifts can either be neglected or used? We know that from personal experience. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Here's something that Paul said to Timothy as he was writing to him in that first letter. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. And I think there he's probably talking about a miraculous ability that was given by the hands of the apostles. Can't be sure about that. But the point is, Timothy, you've been given a gift. Don't neglect it. Use it. People need it. So don't neglect that gift. And you find a similar statement in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And this brings you and me into this discussion. Yes, we are in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 when Peter says this, as each has received a gift, as each has received a gift, use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Did you realize you've been given a gift by Christ? And it's different for every one of us. Some of us have this ability, some have another ability. But do not say, I don't have a gift, because Peter says you do. Peter was writing by inspiration. You have a gift that you've been given. You may not know what it is yet, and we'd love to help you discover that. But the point is, we all have a gift. Let's use it instead of neglecting it. But when we're talking about gifts, we know that sometimes we don't like the gifts we're given, right? We may not see that they are useful to us, and so instead of accepting them and using them, we just say, well, thank you, but I don't want this. Well, we can't do that with Christ's gifts. We need to find what they are and then put them to use. So, what I'm suggesting in this lesson, here's the main point of what we're doing in this lesson. Let's have a different view of those who watch over our spiritual health. Let's have a different view. And some, it may not need to be different. It just needs to be affirmed. But for some, we need to have a different view of those who watch over our spiritual needs. Now, as we have seen, Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. We have three of those categories. And we're not here to say, none of us should say, well, I am God's gift to you. That's not the idea. It is simply the idea that God has put me in a position of serving. As he has the elders, as he has the Bible class teachers, anyone who tries to teach another person in any capacity the will of God, he has put us in these positions, and it should be viewed as a gift. Thank you. Thank you for taking your time to help me understand better the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to focus especially now on those who oversee the church. We call them normally elders. They can also be referred to as shepherds. But this is the idea we're going to really zoom in on now. And listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 12 and 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. I think he's obviously talking there about the elders of the congregation. And he says, look at them with the idea that they are gifts from Christ. They have been put in place in order to help guide me in the right way, to provide good nourishing food for my soul. Esteem them very highly for their work's sake, not just because they wear a title. And I know our elders don't try to do that. They don't try to flout themselves as, look at me, I'm your elder. No, they all have that servant mentality. And he's saying, esteem them very highly and listen to what they're saying. Respect them for what they're doing. Pay attention, in other words, to what they're trying to get you to do. A similar statement can be found in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. And listen to what the writer there says about those who rule over us. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And so again, the idea is obey them, submit to them. In other words, give heed to the things they're trying to teach us and to encourage us to do. And yet sometimes the tendency is, well, I don't like what they're saying. It doesn't really relate to me. I don't want to do that. And so I'll just keep on going the direction I'm going. That's not what the Bible teaches us as Christians. Yes, they are men. They can be mistaken. But work with them. Understand they're there in order to help us make our journey successfully. And so, the idea, esteem them very highly, obey them, submit to them, because they are Christ's gift to you. And this idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 16, Paul is utilizing an image here, the image of our bodies, our physical bodies. And we know there's a lot of parts that make up our bodies. If one part starts going awry, then it causes problems for the rest of the body. And that's the idea here. 1 Corinthians 12. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Bottom line, if you're a Christian, you're a part of the body. And your function is needed. Remember what we saw in Ephesians 4? When the parts are working together properly, it enables the body to grow, to be built up. But what happens if one or more parts are not functioning properly? Well, a lot of the energy has to be shifted toward healing and recovery. And that much less energy is available for what the Lord wants His church to be doing. So again, the idea is you can't look at yourself and say, well, I'm nobody important. You know, if I were this, then I'd get more involved. If I were that, I'd get more involved. But I'm not, so I'm really not a part of the body. Paul says you are. You are a part of the body. Function as a part of the body. And to get us to that point, Christ has given us gifts. The evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. Do we need give heed to those who lead us? And here's where it gets real personal. Do we heed them? I can vouch for the seven men that serve here as elders. They are men that care about your soul. I am routinely with them in monthly meetings, and at every meeting there are various individuals that are named and discussions about problems they may be going through or challenges. These men care about your soul. They care about other things about your life as well, but they care about your soul, and I know they serve long hours. They didn't do this so they could make money. I don't think any of them get anything for it. They do it because they love you. And when they urge us to do this or that or the other, are we listening? Are we giving heed to what they're saying? For example, they routinely say, let's come together every time the church gathers, because your soul will be nourished, you will be encouraged, you will encourage others. Are we listening? Or do we just automatically say, well, I don't do that? Are we listening to what they say, God's gifts to us to help us along the way? When they encourage us to get involved in a care group, to be more active in our fellowship with one another, do we consider that? Do we say, well, that's what they recommend? Let me think about that seriously. I probably need to do that. And on the list could go. Whatever they try to encourage us to do, we should give heed. Because as we learned in one of the other passages in Hebrews chapter 13, they must give an account for us. Don't you think we also will give an account of how we have responded to their leadership, their guidance? We probably have some gamers among us this morning. I know we talked earlier about The Legend of Zelda. I don't know if any of you still play that, don't even know if it's still available. But one thing we know, if we're serious about playing the game, we need to take advantage of every resource that is available. If you really want to get to the end and say you've won the game, I need to take advantage of all those resources that are available. Do we take our souls as seriously as we do games? Because getting this soul to eternity in Christ, there's nothing more important. And these gifts have been given to us, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to help us get there. Are you in Christ this morning? And if not, let's do it today. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Enough that you would be willing to turn away from sin, repenting of it? Would you be willing to stand before this group and say, I do believe He is God's Son, I'm not ashamed of that, and continue making that confession the rest of your life? And would you today, because of your faith, obey Jesus' own command to be baptized in order to be saved? Mark 16, 16. Would you do that? Because of your faith, and in just a few moments' time, your soul can be delivered from death, and you'll be placed in Christ. That's not hard to do. We want you to do it. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or has the world pulled you back in? It's powerful. You know that. The temptations Satan gives us through the world are powerful, and it's all too easy to get pulled back in. And if today we need to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness as erring children of God, then we want you to do that as well. Or if you just need prayers for strength, for encouragement, we'd love to help you with that as well. Whatever your need, come as we stand and sing.